Okay, at the beginning of this year, and especially for you guys here, I wanna really encourage you to know that you are not here by accident, especially if you are truly English, not as Afrikaans English as I am. But God has just laid us on our hearts that there's a whole community in Malmesbury that doesn't really get reached. So we trust in God to really reach, especially the West Coast College and all of the students there, and our youth, and then the English people here in Malmesbury. So know that you are appointed by God as the first fruits for year. So really looking forward to what God is going to do. So invite people, have them come, and we're going to see what God does through us. And then it's a team effort from there onwards. So I told the guys this morning that God has given us a lot of promises in our hearts, and some of it has disappeared. Others have come and gone as well, and God wants to restore those things that He put in our hearts that we let go. And tonight I want to speak a little bit about just being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we look at the Word, and especially when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I want you guys to just turn to one another quickly. We're going to have this interactive thing. It's better for me and for you. So the person next to you or at the back from you, just speak to them on how you experience the Holy Spirit. Okay? How does the Holy Spirit speak to you? Julle kan maar gaan. Let's go for it. Okay, so speak to the person next to you or behind you. If you don't want to, it's fine. But just say how you experience the Holy Spirit in your life at this very moment. Okay? You need to speak to one another. Right, so that's question number one. If you haven't finished with that, it's fine. Just go on. Then, a next question that I want to ask you guys is, when are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, that's a biggie. When are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, you thought you were just going to sit here and have a sermon preached at you. No worries. Okay, so dust off those brains and then say to the person there, when you think, if you think, listen, this is what it is, then say that. But anyway, so when are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, not such long answers there. Maybe it's just like, I don't know. Okay, anybody who's really brave, who wants to shoot, when are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Always, hallelujah. Okay, continually filled, yeah, okay. Other ones? When you accept Jesus, okay, mevrou, daddy, our Bible school. Okay, why I'm asking this question is especially in charismatic circles, this question can provoke some different answers, okay, from a lot of people. And That's why the sermon is great, because always, you know, you need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. But many times we, as charismatic or Pentecostal believers, we really judge people a lot, you know, regarding their filledness with the Holy Spirit by one thing. If they can speak in tongues. Okay. Which is fine, because God wants all of us to speak in tongues. That's great. But now we've got this thing, and we ask people, okay, but can you speak in tongues? No. Then I, and yes, there's a place like we see, Paul comes to some believers comes to one of the disciples, a group of disciples that haven't heard about the Holy Spirit. And then he taught them more about the Holy Spirit, and he laid hands on them and filled them with the Holy Spirit. So, yes. And that's why when you speak about this topic, you will get, you know, some people say this and other people say that. And what I want you guys to remember is not to be arrogant in your own opinion. When we get to that place where you become arrogant, then you're not as useful in God's hands. Okay, always with love you speak. But can you accept Jesus Christ into your life without the Holy Spirit? There's no way. There's no way that your heart can change without the Holy Spirit. So to tell people they don't have the Holy Spirit, but they are saved, is also not entirely the truth. But from that side again, to say that's the only thing that you need, you don't need anything more, that's also not entirely the truth. Okay, so when we speak about this filling of the Holy Spirit, then the continuous being filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of puts all of that to rest. Because then, you know, all of us every day need to be filled with the Holy Spirit constantly. And I'm going to speak to you a little bit about that, and then come back to just this little observation that we've got there. But I want to read from Ephesians 15. Ephesians 5, sorry. Verse 15. Ephesians 15. There isn't Ephesians 15. Anyway. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and in everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Okay, so a couple of observations here. The first one is it's weird that Paul writes to the Ephesians and he equates being filled with the Holy Spirit to being drunk with wine. He says it. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so who was drunk over the weekend? Not with wine. Okay, cool. So, there's a couple of translations, and I'm just going to read it to you. The NIV says, do not get drunk with wine, which is used to debauchery. I've just read that one. The New Living Translation says, don't be drunk with wine, because it will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. And then, you know, the Message, don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge drafts of Him. Amen, like a draft. Get yourself a draft of the Holy Spirit. And then you drink that one, baby. So, what the contrast between wine and spirit is what would you say? Okay, before I give you the answer. Why does he use that one? So again, to your partner, just say, why do you think Paul uses that as an example to equate the Holy Spirit to wine. Go for it. You need to think in this church. Gavi, you look really smart with your glasses, man. I like it. You must speak to Louis there. Nice one. Okay, so now you had some time to think. You know, when you read stuff in the Bible, don't just go through it like you go through the motions. Think about things. Because we all know that that is what Paul writes to the Ephesians. But how many of us really stopped and said, okay, why wine? Now, give me some answers. Why wine? Sibongile, what do you say? Okay. Hallelujah. I like that. Okay, great. Just for the record, Sibongile says that, you know, when you're drunk and then you say all the stuff that's in your heart that you don't necessarily say to people when you're not drunk. Okay, so that's one. That's cool. Anybody else? True colors. Okay, maybe the same vein. Yeah. True colors. Nothing else? Really bang, wees man. Julle het gepraat, almal van julle. Kom nou man. All of you have spoken. Okay, so that's fine. So, to catch up on what these two ladies said then, is a while back, not a while back, it's more than a year ago, we were driving in December, in one of those late night drives from the farm, getting back here, and on the one radio station, they were talking about becoming drunk. And it was, you know, it was one of those things that just stuck with me, because it changed the way that I thought about being drunk. Okay, not that I've been drunk before, but it. Yeah, you must speak to some other people. That's one of the things that God has spared me of. I've never been drunk. I've done some other bad things, but that one I don't know. So, when it comes to being drunk, I always thought that, you know, like these two ladies said, is it's kind of a releasing thing. So you drink and then you're released into speaking and all of those things. Amen. Oh, no, no. Lily. Oh, it's nice. I like all your sins to come out, man. Come on, bring it. Bring it, yeah. No, it's great. So what... So when you speak about becoming drunk, and that's what changed my mind, alcohol is actually a suppressant. It's not an, I don't know what the converse of suppressant is. So it suppresses. It's not something that, like we think, it brings you out. It's not something that gives you, like steroids. Steroids beefs you up. You know, it makes you more. But alcohol is a suppressant. So the reason why we start speaking is the first thing to go is that suppressive thing of our brain that, you know, says to you, you need to be, you know, in control because there's other people here. So the first thing that alcohol does, it suppresses that part of your brain. So now you are speaking to everybody. And it's lovely. And everybody thinks you're so awesome. You know, that's one of the reasons why they use wine, you know, at parties and stuff. It gets it going because it suppresses the people's stuff. So just that is an outflowing, like you guys have said, of the wine. But to bring it back to that, so actually wine is starting to control you. And that is actually the point for just being, don't be controlled by the wine, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And you can go and read about being drunk a lot more. I could tell you for 20 minutes still just on how it goes and goes and goes. But that is the contrast that there is between the wine and the Spirit. But we'll get to the place later. It's not that the Holy Spirit is controlling you. You know that. But I'm going to speak to you later a little bit about that. So the Holy Spirit, you know, gives us a couple of things when he invades our life. So the first thing is verse 15 and 16. He gives us wisdom for living in this evil age. Now people, this is one thing that we are going to need more and more as we are going forward. Because the evil that we are experiencing now, you know, it's something that it just boggles my mind. And we need to be the light and the salt in that place of this mega evil. So for the Holy Spirit to just fill us so that we can have wisdom in living in this evil age. I won't stand still too long, don't worry. Then in the understanding of God's will, when the Holy Spirit is working and at work inside of us, then it's easier for us to determine what the will of God is for our lives. And I know that there are some of you that, you know, what is the will of God for me now? Many times, especially when we're younger, even if when we're older, we want to be in the will of God so badly that sometimes we get out of the will of God. So let me explain. We are so focused on not making a mistake because of the will of God that I'm seeking that you don't do anything. And then you stand still. I've seen many Christians like that. The will of God is such a thing, you know, I need to God needs to, you know, speak to me 70 times and confirm, and 70 people must, and then I give one step. And then I'm like, maybe it looks like you're more acting out of fear than of faith. So when you are pursuing God in that place of what is the will of God for my life, that's a wonderful place to be. If you are pursuing the will of God, then you are in the will of God. But don't get too focused on doing everything exactly precisely right. Just know that the will of God is actually quite wide. Maybe I'm throwing a little bit of a theological box or two this evening, but that's fine. The will of God is really wide. Take Joseph, for instance. The will of God for him was to rule over his brothers, to make it very short. But where did that guy go? He went to prison. He went into Pharaoh's lustful wife's house and all of those things. And if you would have stopped him in one of those situations and asked him, are you in the will of God? What would he have told you? Yes. Well, yes. But I mean, we Pentecostal charismatics, we are so fixated about doing everything right that when things go wrong, then we think we must have missed it. God's will is wide, people. And the Holy Spirit is the one that comforts you in that place. In prison. In that situation with Pharaoh's wife. He comforts you. He gives you that place of, okay, this doesn't make sense, but this does. And then you know that you are in the will of God. So the Holy Spirit helps us in understanding the will of God, even though our mind and our circumstances might not be lining up according to that. Then, a joyful heart filled with singing to the Lord. You know, that's another thing. When last, apart from here in church, when last did you just joyfully sing? Check this thing out. If you are in Spar or in some place where there's a lot of people, when somebody comes with a joyful tune, what do you think about that person? He's mad, yeah, yeah, hallelujah, that's fine. But you kind of turn to him and it's like you catch up on his tune. Hey, somebody's singing. And when last did you sing? Just because the joy of the Lord is your strength and in your heart. Not because you need to. Or Sunday, the pastor said, I must sing, so now I'm singing. No. From that place of a joyful heart, filled, just singing to the Lord. I remember going, one day we were in Kika, in Perl. And that was a eating place. And Danelle and I was just both in that place, you know, where God, he was just so in us. And we were so joyful, and we didn't sing, but we just spoke. And there was just really the Lord's joy among us. And then the waitress came up to us, and she saw that. And she was like, what you guys have is different. So it's from that place where God fills us with His Spirit so that we can sing and do all of those things and have a heart full of thanksgiving. That's the other thing. The Holy Spirit helps us to be thankful for our lives. In this consumerist environment that we're in, you're never thankful for what you have. There's always something more to get. People that are rich, full of greed, they never entirely have enough. Just a little more. A little more. One thing that the Holy Spirit teaches us is to be content and with a heart full of thanksgiving with what we've got. And then the last one is when we're filled with the love of the Holy Spirit, then we abide in an attitude of mutual submission. You want to serve people. You want to humble yourself and help and serve and give. And that's why when you guys come to church, always come with something, not with money. But bring that too, it's fine. But it's not about the money. It's about your heart. Where's your heart at? Are you coming to give? Or are you coming just to receive? A big difference. A lot of us come to church and we don't really come with the attitude that this is actually a place where I need to give. Yes, you do receive. Because there's other people there that wants to bless as well. And then in that, God is just so glorified and everybody's in that place of being blessed. But how do you come to church? Do you come prepared? Do you come prayed up? Do you come with the word? And with that place of God, you can use me. And only a heart that is really touched by the Holy Spirit can maintain such attitudes in everyday relationship and life. So, first thing, I've just spoken about the contrast. The second thing about being continuously filled is it's a command. Okay, in the Greek, the verb is the imperative mode. So in other words, it's be filled. Okay, so it's a command. Continuously be filled with the Spirit. So if you're not continuously being filled with the Spirit, then you're actually out of God's will. Because He's commanding us to be continuously filled. And then the second thing is, you know, all this Greek stuff. But the second thing is, it is in the present tense. So it's not something that happened. Yes, it did happen once somewhere. But then from there, it's a continuous thing. Continuously in the present, being filled. It's kind of like in autumn. If somebody tells you to go and rake the leaves, and you've got this big oak trees that just throws off a lot of leaves, then you rake a heap like this, and somebody comes and says, but I told you to go and rake the leaves. And I said, I did rake the leaves. And he said, no, rake the leaves. Okay. continuously rake the leaves as they go on. So it's not a thing that just happens, it's done, now we can move on with life. No, it's the present tense that's a continuous thing that you need to be filled again and again and again and keep being filled with the Spirit. And then the third thing, or the fourth actually, but it's in the passive voice. Okay, so the active voice is go and fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. That's active. You need to actively do something to be filled. It's in the passive voice. So it says, be filled, like God fills you with the Holy Spirit. So be filled. Be continuously filled. It's in the passive voice. So you need to know that I don't need to do anything apart from making yourself available to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the last one is, it's a plural command. Ye all of us, be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, back to what I spoke about in the beginning. You know, and there's a lot of other things that we can speak about regarding this. When we do Bible school, and you guys are welcome to do Bible school, it really changes your mindset on a lot of things. That's why Amari has got a couple of questions down on the Holy Spirit. When you speak about being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a continuous thing, yes. But there's also a place where you are filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. Either when you are saved, you know, that's fine. Or even if you've been saved, then a place where you get laid the hands on from people and you ask for the Holy Spirit and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's also entirely biblical. The one thing that God wants us to know about this, and God has just challenged my heart, especially when we come and we start speaking about, you know, those churches, because we've been elevated, you know, we've got it down. Then when you speak in that way, then to say that those people do not have the Holy Spirit, it's a dangerous territory that you are moving into. Like we said, you cannot be saved without the Spirit, number one. But the one thing that you need to look for in a person's life to know if they have been filled with the Holy Spirit, transformed by the Holy Spirit, doesn't matter, is power. That is the common denominator. It doesn't matter if you come from the Pauline side or from the Luke Act side, you know, regarding this issue. There needs to be power in that person's life for you to know that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's not a place where people can say, yes, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but their life has got, there's nothing different in their life than the people in the world. So you need to be filled with the Spirit. And the thing that you look for is there power? So in other words, if this person sits here and they don't speak in tongues, so let's leave that one out. But this was such a timid person, and God touched the life, changed the life around, and now this person is telling everybody about what God has done in their lives. There's not a way that that person does not have the Holy Spirit. There's power in her life. What she was not able to do, she is now able to do. Yes, God wants her to speak in tongues as well. That's fine, because then you connect with God and all of those things. But for us to say, no, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit because you don't speak in tongues, is nonsense, people. God wants us to. So again, I'm not saying don't do that. But look at the person's life. Is there power? Is there and I'm not just speaking about miracles and laying on of hands and those things. Is that person's life transformed? In other words, they've seen Hendrik yesterday. When you come a week later and you see Hendrik again, then it's like, who is this man? That man has been changed. So God has done something in his life. And with that, let me end off this. My stance is continuously being filled with the Spirit. So regardless of what your angle is, doesn't matter. Be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Ask God to fill you. Ask God to use you mightily. because that's what he wants to do. So back to just the application in our lives regarding the Holy Spirit. And Paul just likening it to wine, the issue of control. If a man is filled with anger, what controls his life? Anger does. If a person is filled with greed, what controls his life? Greed. So, he who sins is a slave to sin, like Paul writes. So when you are in that place, then what you are inside controls you. If it's anger, then it actually has got a massive influence on your life. Okay, so I'm not a drunk, but pornography and lust controlled my life for a long time. So when you are controlled by something, it isn't like a continuous thing every single second of the day, maybe for some people. But it's that place when a couple of days have gone by and you've tried so hard to be a good Christian. You've tried so hard to not do what you know you should not do. But then there comes a place where you have got no control over that thing anymore. And it leads you astray. Sometimes I was so deceived in my own mind, thinking that I can control this thing. When I look back, I see I've been planning what I wanted to do, from 3 weeks ago already. Going all and doing all the things. What spirit am I following? Well, in my case, the lustful one. And that thing controls you. And you need to be delivered of that. God needs to come and set you free of that. And then you need to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is supposed to be in control. And then the other one, by consent. The Holy Spirit is the perfect gentleman. He will never, never override your will. If you're not willing to let him control your life, he won't. But if you are willing to, he will. Because he wants to. He wants to transform you. He wants to transform your life. And he wants to bring you to that place of being full of him. So, God wants us to cooperate with him as the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to speak about just the context situation. It sounds heavy, but it's not that heavy. So, there's a place of cooperation with the Holy Spirit where you are walking down the road and you get this thought. Mostly I get thoughts through the Holy Spirit about people. So I would see somebody and then I'll have this thought of them. Sometimes a picture, but not always. And then you can choose to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Will you step out in faith and go after what you feel that the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart? And in that place, when you start to cooperate, God uses you. He uses you in mighty ways. Two things before I get to the contact situation is many of us are so full of ourselves, the Holy Spirit cannot fill us. We need to take a good look at ourselves and see, am I so full of even the good things, the greatness and the ability of Duval, being able to preach or whatever you think you can do well. And it's great. But you get to a place somewhere when you think, and especially in preaching, and I've seen this because I've been in ministry for a while. You get to a place where you feel, I've got this down. Full of yourself. And those are the most difficult sermons to pull off when you are doing it solo, puppy. You feel like you want to die because there's just nothing. And if I empty myself and say, God, I cannot do this without you. Like I said there again this evening, I cannot do this without you. Then God comes and he cooperates. Or I cooperate. He's the one that leads. But I cooperate with him. And then he is doing the work. So, The issue of contact. It's not that, you know, it's not rocket science, but many times we think we need to be filled and then go and do something. We need to be filled and then go and do something. No. It's like when you take a train. Yeah, there's a lot of trains here. You don't have steam engines anymore. So most of the trains are either diesel or they're electric. So the issue of contact is, if you want that train to move, the wheels need to be on the rails, but the engine needs to be connected to the wire above. If there's not continuous contact with that wire, that train is going nowhere. And we've got a lot of Christians that, then they run it, and then they free for a while, and then they go and they stop again. Oh, yes, yes, yes. And then they run again, and then they free, and then they go and stop a while. No. Continuous contact. You need to be in that place where you are just constantly in that place of being in contact with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be silly about it. Just in your heart, be willing to be used whenever by the Holy Spirit. Then He will use you. And then, I forgot to say the second thing. For many of us, then, there's also a lid on our hearts. Despondency, hurt, bitterness, whatever. And it keeps us in that place where the Holy Spirit cannot come even if He wants to. Because you need to go and deal with whatever the thing is that keeps the Holy Spirit from being able to fill you. Because you've put on that lid and you need to open that lid. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And then God will come and He will fill you and me. So, I told you I was going to go at 7 and we still need to pray. So, when we come to 2017, bring your heart before God. And we're going to do it now. For those of you who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you haven't ever received, you know, somebody just laying on the hands of laying hands on you, and you ask the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to fill you, and then also speak in tongues. Yes. If you want that, we're going to do that tonight. I'm trusting God to just release some people, because that's amazing, and that you can go and tell to everybody. Okay, don't be arrogant about your opinion, but your opinion matters, and that is a great opinion to have, that everybody is able to speak in tongues. Builds up your spirit, you connect to God, and God can do just an awesome amount of things through you. Just one story about that is, when you get filled with the Spirit, many times, you know, Satan comes and he wants to tell you a lot of nonsense. Nah, you don't understand what you're saying. And you're just making this stuff up, and wah, 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 wah. So I stopped doing that for a while, and then God in His mercy sent me on a mission. And then as we went out to this place, did some ministry, and then came back as a team, and then one guy prayed and he said, God, if there's anything here that is not of You, please remove it from us. You know, very super spiritual prayers sometimes, and then sometimes God listens. And then one lady on the team, she was oppressed by a devil, and God decided that was the perfect moment for her to be delivered. And I was like one of the few guys that knew about this stuff on that team, not even experienced that. And when that lady started to do her stuff, you know what? All reasoning seems to go out the window. And I was like, God, You need to help me here. And then God did amazing. You know, he was just so awesome. So what could I do? I didn't know what to do. But I knew about this praying in tongues thing that I didn't do anymore. And I just prayed in tongues. And God delivered that lady through me praying in tongues. And I'm like, well, okay, fine, God. This thing works. What I said, that spirit understood it and left. So, whenever it comes to that thing, you know, I'm sold out for it. Totally. I'm just saying, let's not be arrogant about our opinions. Let's guide people into that. So, if that's you, I want to pray for you this evening, and then if there's anything else that that you guys want prayer for, then we're small enough group here, so we can just pray for one another. So as Hendra comes up, I'm just gonna pray for us, and then you are welcome to come and be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's some cell leaders and people here that will help me to facilitate that. And then I really look forward to seeing you guys next week again, and even more. I'm excited about this. God, thank you for this evening. God, thank you that you are starting to raise up an army. God, across denominations, God, across cultures, God, across languages, Lord. And Lord, thank you that people are standing up, Lord. Father, and thank you that in this place, God, you will raise up disciples, leaders, God, people that are disciples of Christ that can go into this world, Lord, and bring light where there's darkness. People that have got their heads screwed on right, God, that knows that your word is the final authority, Lord God, above everything. And Lord, we submit ourselves to that. And Father, I pray, Lord, that in this place of just being continuously filled with your Spirit, God, I pray, Lord, that we will be in that place where we are in mutual submission to one another, God, as we are in submission to you and your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you will come and fill us. Fill us with wisdom, God. Fill us with joy, God. Fill us, Lord, with compassion for people. And Lord, fill us with your power, God, so that we can see your power at work through us, Lord. And people get saved and people get healed and raised from the dead, God. And demons delivered, God, from people. Not to bring glory to ourselves, God, but Lord, to give you all the glory. And Lord, to set the captives free, for that is what you want us to do. And Father, I pray, Lord, that every heart here that has walked away from that place, God, of being continuously filled, that tonight, Lord God, you will fill them again. And Lord, as they come in faith to you, like they did when they come to you, Lord, they came to you, God, to get saved, that your Spirit will fill them. And Jesus, that as your Spirit takes control of our lives, Lord, that we will be continuously transformed into the glory of Christ as we live our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.